Now we're going to go back in the Old Testament this morning to the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verses 21 to 32. Thank you, Cheryl. Here we have the description of the work of the Old Testament priesthood and how they're made up out of the tribe of Levi, selected by God. Thank you.
Beginning at verse 21 in chapter 18. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites, and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. And your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel, and you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. Of all your gifts you shall offer up every heave offering due to the Lord, from all the best of them, the consecrated part of them. Therefore you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the threshing floor and as the produce of the winepress. You may eat in any place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your work in the tabernacle of meeting. And you shall bear no sin because of it, when you have lifted up the best of it. But you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Cheryl. So there we see it. God is showing us here, with the role of the Levites, how they had that special position between God and man. They had the position of looking after the sanctuary, all the items that belonged to the sanctuary, the holy things belonging to God. And they were to receive a tithe offering from all the tribe of Israel, God's holy people. And so God was setting an example to the world and to us today of the role of the priesthood between God and man. Aaron and his son took full responsibility of the sanctuary, of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. The tribe of Levi attended to the needs of the high priest. The high priest was responsible for the holiness of the tabernacle or the temple. The priestly tribe of Levi received tithes from all of the people, and they themselves were to present a tithe of one-tenth of what they received to the Lord. And so in return for their service to the Lord, the priests were to receive a portion of the offerings which the people presented in worship. And before this was made law, we have the episode of Abraham being blessed and paying tithes to Melchizedek. He gave a tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek as an offering. Melchizedek was a priest and a king. Melchizedek was a picture of Jesus Christ. And so this is so important that God, way back before the law was introduced, showed this picture of the role of Jesus Christ. And then we have all the Old Testament time there where the Jews had to bring their tithes and offerings to the priest, and we had the altar of sacrifice, and the role of the priests, right down to the Pharisees in Jesus' day. And we can see, because of their hatred towards Jesus, we can see how the earthly priesthood failed. The earthly priesthood failed. And so we turn to Jesus Christ, our heavenly priest. There was a time back in Noah's day when God judged the earth, and 8 people were saved. We look around the earth today, and in so many areas today, the word of God is scoffed at, laughed at. We've got a better way today. We've got the new age. We've got the green way, the earthly way. The Bible is full of warning that this is going to be a great time of testing for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Love only waits to forgive and forget. God doesn't take hold of us and lead us with a yoke around our neck that he brings us, draws us and drags us into the kingdom. He's loving us and drawing us through the teaching of his word to open our eyes and see the great saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Home weary wanderer home. He wants to draw us into the kingdom. He wants us to love him. We're not to be robots. We are to love him of our own free will. Wonderful love dwells in the heart of the Father above. Wonderful hymn. And as we look at Hebrews chapter 7 verses 4 to 10, I'm going to start right back at verse 1 because it's so important. But we see here the importance of our great high priest, our advocate before God. We've got to see ourselves as we really are in the eyes of God. We are sinful in the eyes of God. We are as dung in the eyes of God. We are nothing, as filthy rags. And it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ and our coming to him that we have reconciliation back to God. And we see all through the Old Testament how the earthly priesthood failed. The earthly priesthood failed. And the writer of Hebrews here takes us right back to before that earthly priesthood, to the role of the priest, high priest and king. And that's the role of Jesus Christ today. He's our priest and our king. Chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem and priest of the Most High God, there it is, spelled out in black and white, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. He blessed Abraham, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. And this is the key to Melchizedek, verse 3. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, was made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. And this is the beauty of Christ today. He is alive in heaven today. He's not a priest that will die. He's dealing with our sins today. He's alive to deal with our sins tomorrow, sadly, that we will sin, or next week, or next year, if we live long enough. He's our priest forever. The role is continuous till the end of time. Verse 4, our reading before us today. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, and Cheryl spoke about the Levites, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people, according to the law, that is, from their brethren or brothers, though they have come out of the loins of Abraham. They are the descendants of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. That was Melchizedek. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser, Abraham the lesser, is blessed by the better, Melchizedek. Here, Mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. It was witnessed that Melchizedek lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, because of they are the lineage or the descendants of Abraham in the role of the priesthood in the tabernacle or the temple. They themselves, through their great patriarch Abraham, paid tithes. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So here we see that Israel's great patriarch of the past, Abraham, acknowledged the authority of Melchizedek, who was both king and priest, and this was before the law was given. Abraham paid him tithes, and in return Melchizedek blessed Abraham as the less is blessed of the better. Here Abraham affirms the greatness of this king and priest. And here we have, without saying it, a picture of Jesus Christ as our king and priest today. In verse 10, Aaron the priest and all who follow him were of the loins of Abraham. They were the direct descendants of Abraham, who had already paid tithes to Melchizedek. And so here is the clear picture that Melchizedek is a picture of Jesus Christ for us who are sitting in this church this morning. We need to know of the greatness of Melchizedek in order that we can understand the greatness of Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest today. Now the Hebrews gloried in Abraham. He is the great patriarch. Even the Muslims today worship Abraham. His tomb's in Hebron, in a great hall in Hebron. And they've got the tomb in the middle of the hall or the building, and there's a fence goes along each side of it. And the Muslims come in one side and pay tribute to the great patriarch Abraham. The Jews come in on the other side and they pay tribute to the great patriarch Abraham. So Abraham is the great father of all. The Hebrews gloried in Abraham as their father, the patriarch, and Aaron, in his role as high priest, was the representative of God to the people. This was the role of the priest. They had to take the sacrifice from the people, and they'd sacrifice it on the altar, and they'd take the blood into the Holy of Holies once a year in fear and trembling. And they'd make an offering of the sprinkling of the blood first for themselves, because they're earthly people, they're sinners, and then for the people. When we study this, when we really look into this, we see that Aaron, a descendant of Abraham, who indirectly paid tithes to Melchizedek, proving the superiority of Melchizedek. And this isn't for Melchizedek's sake, this is for our sakes today, to understand the priestly role of Jesus Christ today. Our salvation didn't finish when Jesus died and gave up his spirit from the cross when he died. When we all know that when he died, the temple, the veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the people, and the people couldn't come in to the Holy of Holies. They were barred. Only the priest, and only once a year, could come into the Holy of Holies. Well, that veil was torn in two, so that we today, the ordinary, everyday sinners of the world, have open access into the Holy of Holies before the very presence of God because of Jesus Christ. And he is our priest today in heaven. He is more than Abraham, more than Aaron, and more than the law, the Old Testament law. This is Christ for us today. In verses 4 and 5, according to the law, the priests received tithes from their brethren, and all the priests from the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the selected tribe. Note that before the law, Abraham paid tithes to a stranger in Melchizedek, who was a king and a priest, who is a picture of the greatness of Christ, our great high priest. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, yet Abraham had already been blessed by God himself. In Genesis 12:2, God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And then Abraham goes from there and receives a blessing from Melchizedek. So we get more of a picture of the role of Melchizedek as being in the realm of God. In the realm of God. Yet now we see that Abraham accepts this blessing from Melchizedek and pays him tithes. So Abraham was subordinating himself and therefore all the priests after him to Melchizedek, to this priest of the Most High God. And this reveals the superiority of Christ to the Levitical priesthood that the Israelites lived under all through the Old Testament law, who because of death they continually were replaced. They were mere men. They would live, serve in the temple and die and be replaced. And this continually happened till Christ became our high priest, who is our high priest forever. Plus, when you look at the priesthood in Jesus' day, let's look at the priesthood in Jesus' day, made up of mere men. We see Caiaphas, he was the one who planned and plotted to get Jesus Christ on the cross. We have the Pharisees who confronted Jesus day in and day out, trying to find fault with him and trying to put him down. What did Jesus call them? Whitewashed tombs or sepulchres. They were corrupt to the core. These were the men of the priesthood of the day of Jesus Christ. And so we see here once again that the priesthood in men fails. The priesthood in men fails. The priesthood of Jesus Christ cannot fail. And that's what makes him so precious to us today. How can we come before God except through Jesus Christ? So to be saved, we must come to him. We must come to him, and this is what's so precious. It might not seem so precious today while we think we can live until tomorrow. But if one of us is laying on our deathbed and we can see before us heaven and all the glories of heaven for all of eternity, and we have to consider that we also face hell, the darkness and the horrors of hell for all of eternity. We have to make our way sure today that we will spend eternity in the glories of heaven. Jesus is drawing us there. Jesus is calling us there. Through the preaching of his word, he's laying out before us what all that he has for us today, that our treasures would be in heaven, not on this earth, not on what this world is offering us today. What's it say in Revelation or 2 Peter? That the earth is going to be rolled up like a blanket. It's going to pass away. The promises are clear and true and immutable. They cannot be taken away. These promises and these words that are before us today will stand the test of time, and our eternity depends on it. And this shows our relationship to Christ as our priest, who is alive forever, and with Jesus death is defeated. Death is defeated. We need to understand it. We receive blessings from him. He receives tithes from us. Christ brings us God's blessings. In chapter 6, verse 14, God said to there that surely blessing I will bless you, he said to Abraham, and multiplying I will multiply you. That was to Abraham. And in Christ, as our high priest, the blessing is confirmed and imparted to us. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 23 to 26, there we read, where God said, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you." Haven't you heard this before? "And be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." This is what Christ is offering us today. And where else in the world can you find that? Where else can you find peace in the world? You only have to look at the television news at night to see what peace there is around the world today. We partake of Christ. As we partake of Christ, these are our spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. That God has blessed us in Christ, who as high priest, he gives us in that he brings us to the Father. And he blesses us and he keeps us. And in John's Gospel, chapter 10, we read, "My sheep," that is his followers today, "my sheep hear my voice," Jesus said, "and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." And then he says, "I and my Father are one." God's face shines upon us, and the grace of Jesus Christ is our portion today when we come to him. In Christ, every part of this blessing is a reality, a living experience in the power of God. We have an experience that the non-believer cannot even begin to grasp hold of, because we have the surety in our hearts today that no matter whatever happens to us, God has it all in hand. There's a place in the Bible where Jesus said, where we are told in the scriptures that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have a place reserved for us in heaven for all of eternity. The non-believing world has nothing. Nothing. Christ gives us the blessing. We give him the tithes, acknowledging his right to all that we have on this earth. It all belongs to him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He blesses us with the seasons, the fruit of the trees and the crops that we see before us. For all we have belongs to him. Our willing sacrifice of all he asks or needs for his service. The more unreservedly we give our all for his disposal, the more in every deed that we forsake all for his sake, then the richer will be our experience of the fullness and the power of his blessing. The more we give to him, the more he'll give back to us. The more our hearts are filled with Christ's glory, the lower we will bow and the less we will become in our own eyes. He's dealing with our pride. Like Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 21, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." So we put away the carnal of this world and we take on the spiritual of Jesus' life. Thereby, the more we live for him, the more able and willing to be blessed we become. so that our spiritual relationship to Christ is not only maintained but is being made perfect for heaven. Our relationship with Christ is making us fit for heaven. The more we invest, the more we receive. Pressed down and running over. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 36. Jesus said here, he said, "Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you." This is the love of God towards us, and he's calling us, just calling us to come and to hear him and to call on him and to worship him and to serve him and be a vessel of honour in his hand. Our faith is deepened and the fullness of his blessing is cultivated in our hearts when we give ourselves to him. The power of his priesthood is revealed in our hearts, and we will see ever more clearly our unity in him, in obedience and faith as we are consecrated to his service. And this is what I said other Sundays. I've talked about how Jesus gave up the glories of heaven and came to this earth. He took on flesh because he could not die on the cross and be our sacrifice for sin unless he had a body of flesh that could bleed. And he took that on for us. And he's asking us to take on his spirituality today, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts, that we may serve him, know him and love him and be in unity with him. The power of his priesthood is revealed in our hearts, and we will see ever more clearly our unity in him, in obedience and in faith, as we are consecrated for service for him. So in humility, we become less in our own eyes, and then we die to ourselves to be alive in him who is our all in all. And the world has no sway over us because we've given ourselves over to him. Our treasure is in heaven, stored up where moth and rust cannot hurt it. There's no decay. And that's where our heart is today with our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we become a participant of him, that without any dispute, the less, that is us, is blessed of the better, that is Christ. We are truly and forever blessed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I want to close this morning with a reading from Revelation chapter 10. Way back in that famous last book, 22 verses 10 to 17. The angel's talking to John here while he's on the island of Patmos before he died. He wrote the book of Revelation. And here in verse 10 of 22, and he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And yet outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers and the idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie, people of the world have been taken this way. And then in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen.